Pete's been doing a series called Jesus Will, and just want to continue down that this morning by just talking about Jesus Will Forgive. But I kind of want to subtitle this Spring Clean this morning. You know, we go through seasons in the natural and in the spiritual, you know, and I think we mark those seasons. This is spring, time where you, you know, clean up the place, blow out all the cobwebs, mow the lawn, do all that stuff that's been sitting over winter. And I think spiritually it's good to do that. So this morning I just want to talk a little bit about forgiveness and just look at it as just a spring clean. Because I think, you know, stuff gets on us. We're out, you know, doing things and kind of stuff can get, and it's good to occasionally just have a spring clean this morning. So I'm going to talk about forgiveness this morning. This is really basic Christianity 101. Just in the Gospels alone, Jesus refers to forgiveness 35 times. It's a central theme of the whole New Testament. It's a central theme of the Bible. It's a central theme of Christianity. Forgiveness. And so, you know, this may be very basic this morning, but it's good to do that and have a bit of a spring clean, okay? So forgiveness operates on two levels, towards God and towards people. I don't know about you, but I've found the God way pretty easy. He's pretty easy to get along with. You know, but this way, we're dealing with human beings, it can be a lot more difficult. But forgiveness operates on those two levels. And of course, Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And so when you come to him at some point in your life and you say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me, he actually does that. And the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you, and the Bible calls this being born again. And when that happens, there's a point in time where that happens, whether you recognized it or not. I certainly did, but some I find don't really recognize a point in time. But at some point in time, when that happened, a whole lot of amazing things happened to you. Your sin was forgiven, your destiny was secured in heaven, and a whole lot of other things were happening. But at that point, you were forgiven of everything you've ever done. And dare I say, that blood is able to forgive you of everything wrong you're ever going to do. Isn't that amazing? And so that's the only thing that'll get sin out of our lives. That's the thing that separates us from God, is the blood of Jesus. And when we believe in that and apply that to our lives, it thoroughly cleanses it away. It doesn't just cover it, it washes it away like it never existed. That is the great truth of the New Testament. And so God forgives us. 1 John 1:9, first please, Simone. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible talks about, you know, sin being a weight. And I don't know about you, but I remember the day I got born again. I remember it being in a connect group and just not really knowing anything but internally asking Jesus to come into my life. And when I got up the next morning, I felt entirely different. I felt light. Felt like I was walking on air. And, you know, it's such an awesome feeling to get all that junk out of your life and have the blood of Jesus wash it away. But I think as we go on, as Christians, there are times, as I'm saying, we just need to have a clean out sometimes and have a spring clean, because we can get stuff on us and in us and just attitudes and stuff that's not helpful for our journey, and it can weigh you down. But when you get rid of that, wow, you feel great, you feel light, you feel awesome. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I love this verse so much, and I love, this is the amplified version of that same verse. In him, we have redemption, deliverance and salvation through his blood, the remission, the forgiveness of our offenses and shortcomings and trespasses in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. Wow. That's Jesus. Awesome. Okay, so here's the deal. We get forgiven. We get our sin forgiven. And now God says, now you've got to forgive other people. And this can be challenging sometimes because people hurt us. People do all kinds of things to us. But the deal is we've been forgiven and there's now a requirement upon us to forgive this way. Luke chapter 11, Jesus is now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so the famous prayer, you know, we all know it. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And forgive our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So we are forgiven, therefore we forgive people. So the deal is here, the opposite of forgiveness is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is it's just a nasty thing. It's horrible. It will affect your whole life. It will poison it in a whole lot of areas. One thing it will do, it will seriously block. There's not a lot of things that will really block the blessing of God coming into your life. Unbelief is one of them. But unforgiveness will seriously block the blessing of God flowing into your life. It's just not worth even having it in our world. So I just want to read you a verse here. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he answered them and said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This is a famous, one of my favorite verses about faith and believing and speaking to things on the authority of Jesus and seeing them go out of our world. And so it's amazing. I love this so much. But then it goes on and it's talking about faith and believing for miracles and all kinds of blessing in our lives. But then he goes on to say this. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. And then he says this. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Wow. So I know for a fact that I'm big on believing God for faith and miracles and all these kinds of things, but Jesus makes it clear. Here's the deal. Unforgiveness will block that 100% anytime. And we need to make sure we just get that out of our world. Because you can be believing and speaking to the cows come home. but if there's unforgiveness in there, it's going to seriously block that. It's going to hinder it. And so I think the reason Jesus is so much on unforgiveness is because it just does us so much damage. It blocks the blessing of God. It causes all kinds of internal mess and loss of peace and stuff that we really don't need. And so so I think release it. Let it go. Next verse, please. I tried to go over this because it's not very nice. Please, I did not write this, but it's in the Bible. It says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Ouch. Yeah. So it's pretty important to get this forgiveness thing happening in our world. And now, this is interesting because this is a real area where the devil, who is real, the enemy can get access into our world and mess it up big time. Next, please, Simone. This is Paul saying, he says, 2 Corinthians 10, he says this, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ." He's just talking about a situation that needed to be forgiven. And then he says this in verse 11, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So one of the devices, one of the schemes of the enemy, of the devil, is unforgiveness. He knows if he can get that into your heart, it's seriously going to block you and mess you up from moving forward, or at least hinder you from moving forward into what God has. And so John Bevere wrote an amazing book called The Bait of Satan. And out of all the devil's schemes and plans, his big one is to get you to have unforgiveness toward people in your heart. And you know, it's something we kind of, you know, we got to get rid of. We got to release it and let it go. Now, forgiveness is firstly a decision. You got to decide you're going to forgive the person. You may not feel like it. And I think early on as a Christian, I felt like I needed to feel all this gushy love for the person. But you actually don't have to feel that at all. It's a decision, not an emotion. So I make a decision to forgive that person, and later on I will feel the freedom come. But you first make a decision to forgive them. And so it's not emotional. It's a decision you make. And I think we have to forgive ourselves. We do, eh? You have to forgive yourself because you think you stuffed it up, you think you mucked it all up, you think you let God down, you think you let everybody down by the mistakes you made or whatever, whether they were far in the past or recent day. You've got to forgive yourself. If God has forgiven you, for goodness sake, forgive yourself. Let it go. He's not holding that against you. Let it go. And I think also, as we travel, you know, as pastors, we encounter people that really need to forgive God. Not that he needs forgiving, but people feel like he let me down. He didn't do what I thought he was going to do. It appears that he hasn't done what the Bible says he'll do. And I think sometimes you just got to forgive God and just put it in the "I don't know, but I trust you" box, rather than, you know, because honestly, I meet people that are disappointed with God. They think that he let them down. They think that he did not honor his word. You got to forgive him too. As I said, not for you, not that he needs forgiving, but just let all that go. Have a spring clean. I'm just going to let all that go. I'm not holding on to any of that anymore because it's just going to drag you back into the past. It's awful. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but I think this, as I prepared this myself this week, I just had a spring clean myself, started to feel, yeah, there was a few little, and the Bible talks about the little foxes that spoil, you know. It's the little things sometimes, not the big things. It's the little attitudes, it's the little grudges, it's the little things that are in there, and you have a spring clean. Just let the blood of Jesus wash all that away. Let it all go. You start to feel, oh, it's great. And I'm not talking about a picky internal trying to find something wrong. Just have a spring clean. Just get rid of that stuff. Now, Jesus tells parables, which are earthly stories to convey spiritual truth. And he tells a parable in Matthew chapter 18. So we're going to read this parable. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Now, what you don't know here is, I'll just go back. But what you don't know here is that when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1967 in Qumran, what they did is they found there'd been a missing verse here after this. Jesus said, I do not say to you up to 70 times, but up to 70 times 7. And then the next verse that they found said, and Peter passed out, fainted with shock. No, I've just made all that up. But look, he says 70 times 7, and it's like, what? And then Jesus tells a parable. Now, this is an earthly story to convey a heavenly truth. He says, Jesus said to him, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Just hold there, please, Simone. Now, what happened in that day, where the story is being told, when you took out a loan, the security for the loan was over you, your wife, and your kids. So if you defaulted on the loan, your wife and your kids would be sold into slavery, and so would you. That was the security for the loan. What a horrible time to live in. Thank goodness for the influence of the Judeo-Christian ethic. Thank goodness for the influence of Christianity, where today we don't have that kind of garbage, not in our part of the world anyway. And so what happened was this. So now this guy is not able to pay. So the king says, all right, I'm going to claim the security, and you're all going to be sold into slavery. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Next, please, Simone. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Wow. Amazing, the earthly story, right, conveying a spiritual truth. Now, you know the king is God, right? And that guy is us. Now, it's really interesting. The Bible says that he owed 10,000 talents. As I kind of looked and studied through, all the commentators have different ideas about how much this actually was. In fact, the New Living Translation, they can't decide either, so they just say millions of dollars. But the closest I can get where they seem to agree is that 10,000 talents in today's money would be somewhere in the vicinity of $6 million. This guy owes $6 million. How do you even get $6 million in debt in that day? I know how you can now. It's easy. Just buy a house in Auckland, yeah. So, or Sydney for that matter. Yeah, but yeah. So he's $6 million in debt, and then he comes to the king, and the king forgives him. Oh my gosh. Now you would think this guy would be so blown away with gratitude that his response would be entirely different. So he goes out and he finds this other guy that owes him money, 100 denarii. Again, they disagree, but in the vicinity of $100. Okay, so whatever the exact figures are, there's just this extreme difference. So this guy owes him $100. So you would think, wouldn't you? I just, You would think he would say, mate, I've been given forgiven 6 mil, forget about it. Nah, he grabs him by the throat, demands that he pays him the $100. And then Jesus finishes the story whereby the king finds out about it, and he says he delivers him to the torturers. I think the torturers are demons. I think it's the devil. I think when we have that kind of attitude of unforgiveness, we open ourselves for the enemy to come in and torture us in all kinds of ways. But it's amazing. And so, wow. Now, the story is this. We're the guy with the $6 million debt. We get forgiven by Jesus. Compared to what we've been forgiven, really what people do is kind of not that great, not that big. But that's the analogy of you having been forgiven by God, then holding a grudge against someone else here. He says it's not going to work out well for you because you're going to open up for the enemy to come in and just make a mess. So just for that reason alone, wow. So Matthew 24:10 says this. Next, please. Yeah. Now, this is a whole story about end times and all kinds of stuff. But right in the middle of it, Jesus makes this little statement. He says, and talking about end times and all this stuff, but he says, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. So it's interesting that just that word offended. You know, ever met people that are offended? They're angry about life. They're offended about everything. Everything's a problem. Everything's an issue. They're offended. It's the government's fault. It's this person's fault. It's this, it's that. And they have an offense. And I think we can be prone to getting offended by people. Even all the beautiful people in this building today, I'm sure nobody here has ever been offended, but but you're going to have opportunities every single day to be offended. And in church particularly, the devil's plan, and we see it. You know people? I know people that are no longer in church that are bitter and out because they got offended with something. Come on, guys. You know, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm not talking to anyone in particular here. But listen, let's guard ourselves against being offended against one another. Because we're humans and we make mistakes. And listen, offenses are going to come, but don't buy into it. Because if the enemy can get you offended, it's just a foothold in your life. And it's our natural human tendency to be offended. But we need to not be like that. We need to just put on Jesus. Don't allow offense to come into our world. When you get offended, it goes down inside of you, and then it becomes bitter. And it produces all kinds of things. It can produce health problems. It certainly produces loss of peace. All kinds of stuff when you've got a grudge. And you get offended at a person. You just got to have a spring clean. You got to go, I just let it all go. It's not worth it. It's too hard to carry. And I don't know if you met people, I've met them, they go, I will never forgive that person for what they did for me. And don't you just cringe, right? You think, oh my gosh, because someone said it, some preacher somewhere said that holding a grudge against someone is like drinking poison yourself and expecting them to die. It poisons your whole system. You know, and I think just little things, little grudges, little attitudes that can come up. Let's have a spring clean this morning and just get rid of it all, especially as we're moving forward into a new building and a whole new thing. Let's not give any place for the enemy to get in and bring division among us, because that's his deal, to divide and conquer and get us all infighting. But if we are aware of that, if we are armed for that, it's amazing. You know, here's Jesus bleeding and dying on the cross. You know, having done nothing wrong. And Jesus makes 7 statements from the cross, and the first one is, Father, forgive them. My gosh. I just want to read you the last verse here, 1 Peter chapter 2. It says this, for God called you to, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example that you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Wow. The Amplified here says, he left you his personal example. That when he was reviled, when he was insulted, he didn't take on a grudge. He forgave them. Wow. At a level that you and I cannot even imagine. He's our personal example. I had a friend who's in Australia now many years ago, and we worked together, and it's really impacted me what he said one day. Something really bad happened to him. He was really mistreated in just a horrendous way. And I was really concerned about him, and I said, well, how do you feel about that? And he said to me the most amazing thing I've ever heard. I remember it to this day. He said to me, I don't feel anything about it because I made a decision years ago to never, ever be offended about anything. Here's the deal. See, if you just wait till someone offends you, or you wait till someone does something against you, you're relying on your emotion and reaction in that moment. But when you have a preloaded decision in life, this is my default position. I have a preloaded position in my spirit that I have already decided that no matter what anybody ever does to me ever, I have already decided to forgive them. I have already decided to never be offended. When that offense comes, you can negotiate that. It doesn't come out of left field and knock you out, because you're already, that's your position in life. That's your preloaded decision. I walk in forgiveness. I have decided. And he said to me, I've decided to never ever be offended with anyone ever for the rest of my life. Wow. And that so impressed me. And I thought, wow, what a great attitude to have. But when you have it already made, when offenses come, it's easy. It's not saying it's easy, but easier to negotiate them, because you've already decided. Not taking it on board. Not taking it on board. Amazing. Yep, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get disappointed. People are going to offend you. But you got to let it go. And it's a decision that goes into the future, but it's a decision right now. Whatever has gone on, where there's a little attitude or a little grudge or a little whatever, I'm going to let it go and release it out of my life. Going to have a spring clean this morning. Ben, would you join me, please? So let's just make a decision this morning. Could we do At the Cross? Would that be okay? Hey, let's just make a decision this morning to forgive everyone that's ever done anything against us. Let's make a decision this morning to let go of every grudge and every offense. But let's make a decision this morning going forward that I am not going to allow unforgiveness in my life, and I'm not going to allow any offense to come and be part and trip me up from the purpose and the calling and the destiny that God has for me, because that's what it's designed to do. Amen. Was that okay this morning? Bit heavy for a Sunday morning, but it's good to have a good spring clean. Let it go. And so as we just sing At the Cross this morning, if there's something there in your heart, just give it to him. Lay it at the cross. Let it go. Have a spring clean. Walk out of here free and clear. Just feeling great. Nothing between me and him. Nothing between me and anybody else. I'm free. Allow the blessing to come. Amen. So let's all stand, shall we? At the cross.